CataractCoach.com podcast series episode number 85 with Dr. Herman Bianchi from Argentina, teaching techniques of cataract and refractive surgery.
Welcome back to our Cataract Coach podcast. And today I have a very special guest, my good friend, Dr. Herman Bianchi from Argentina. And I want to talk to you all about the amazing surgeries you're doing, your travels to teach everyone around the world, and also your own meeting there in Cordoba. Welcome to our podcast.
Thank you. Thank you, my friend. Thank you. I'm very happy to be here with you in your podcast, your famous podcast. Thank you very much.
Of course, I appreciate
it so much. Yes.
Tell me, how did you get started? How did you start in ophthalmology?
Well, it's a very nice question. I don't have any parents, anything in my family. Anyone was a doctor. I just to decide because in that time when I was a child, I have a grandmother that always said to me, "You must be a doctor. You must be a doctor." And I started to study medicine, and I love medicine. Well, when I started my first years, I realized that I love the little things, to study with the microscopy, histology, all of these things. I have two options in my, in the end of my career, neurosurgeon or ophthalmology. And I decide ophthalmology because I was thinking that maybe it's more comfortable with more happy patients, different life, no? You know. Yes.
For neurosurgery, very few patients say, "Thank you for the brain surgery. I feel so much better." But in ophthalmology, yes, especially cataract and refractive, all the patients say, "Oh my gosh, thank you so much. This is amazing."
Yeah. The feedback is so good. You know, the feedback with the patient is very good because usually the refractive surgery, the cataract surgery, the patient are very happy and they leave the glasses and all of the things that we know, no? It's different from another areas like retina or glaucoma. It's different, but in our area, the patient are so much happy. And most of them, of course, most of them, yes. This was one of the reasons. My sister always say, "I want to be an ophthalmologist when I am studying medicine." And I said to her, "Well, the ophthalmologist is not a doctor. It's not like a doctor. It's just a little thing of the body." Because I didn't think about to be an ophthalmologist. But well, after that, you know the karma.
I think we're so lucky to be ophthalmologists. But yeah, you're right.
Yes.
Tell me about your practice. Yes. So you do obviously a lot of cataract surgery, refractive surgery, anterior segment surgery. Tell me about your practice.
Yes, well, I do always, my first practice is cataract surgery and facial refractive surgery. And also I do PEKIT IOLs for high myopias, a lot of them. I do also some surgeries for cornea. I'm specializing cornea too. This is all of my area that I work in Buenos Aires. I work in Buenos Aires in Clinica Nano. I started 30 years ago, a long time ago. And I do the surgeries and I'm happy with the anterior segment now because, well, I used to do all of that since. Yes, and I think many years ago I start with fucking IOL. I think in 2003 I start with the anterior fucking IOLs. I used in that time the fucking 6, but in 2007 I start with the posterior chamber fucking IOL for high myopias, like ICL, and then I change for another one. The name is IPCL. And I continues with like everyone that doing refractive cataract surgery with multifocal EDOF and all of this thing. No? And I also use Femto to do cataract surgery. I have the set 8. And when I start with the set 8, I say, well, it's not better than me. It's not better than me. But nowadays, I think it helped a lot for the surgery and not only for the capsular rexin. I think it is very good for the crystalline fragmentation because reduce the time of phaco and also for the cataracts nuclear 2 or nuclear 1 and phaco refracted because it's easier than if you do the in the manual way this surgery. No, and I think it's so nice this the technology to use nowadays.
Well, you know, but for Femto, it's kind of dividing. So some ophthalmologists really love Femto, femtosecond laser. Some ophthalmologists say really not needed. I've gone back and forth between both sides. I can see the ups and upsides and the downsides. But I think the one tough part is that for a lot of surgeons around the world, it's a very expensive technology.
It's expensive. I know it's expensive technology. And you need to spend money for each surgery too, because you know you need to pay for the cassette and all of these things. But also I think that it's very useful to reduce the time of phaco. When I start, I was thinking like you say that it's expensive and maybe the patient don't want to pay for that, but nowadays, when I offer many of the patients, you know, 50-60% decide to use the Femton, I think it's a very good option in some cases. Of course, I use every week the Femton, not just for cataract, for cornea, for cornea rings, for everything.
it's certainly very useful, especially for some of these complicated corneal cases like the corneal rings or segments, for sure.
I know it is very easy to use the corneal ring for in these cases, yes, and it's very helpful too, yes. But I love the Femto. I am in this side. But it helped me a lot to reduce the yesterday I have a very hard cataract. And I did with Femto, and I know this hard cataract was pre-cutting. The time of ultrasound was much less than if I don't use it. And the pre-cutting is very easy to cut the nucleus after the Femto. And I think it's a very good option to use it. Of course, I feel better when I do all of the surgery, but well, you know, I'm a surgeon and you're a surgeon and we need to do everything. But I think that technology nowadays help a lot to do a better surgery.
For sure. I think we should always embrace newer technologies, at least try them. It's good to have the experience and know how to do everything, have access to all of these. When you're a young ophthalmologist, if you're age 30 and no gray hair, you may want to make sure you don't give up your manual skills also and do only your last herbs on Femto. You got to learn that. You have to do both.
Yes. When I started, I was thinking, like you say, because I don't want to lose my manuality, because right. I do a lot of surgeries, and I was thinking like you, but well, I say I want to put every data in the Femto because I want to do something in the surgery, you know.
Right.
Yes, but well, but I think there is a lot of cases, important cases, to do the manual surgery and to feel good and to have the manuality. But I agree with you. When you start, you need to do all of the surgery, all of the kind of surgery, also the M6, the extracapsular, to have the the manuality in your hands and in your brain too, no?
For sure. To learn. Now you have a very big experience with fakic eye wells, more than in the US. So in the US, we basically only have now the Vizion ICL. We don't have IPCL. And in the US, there's no anterior chamber type lenses. Tell me about how did you go through the process? So 20 years ago, you were doing anterior chamber phakic lenses. And then how did it progress over 20 years?
Yes, well, I was using this kind of IOLs years ago. But nowadays, I start, I think 8 years ago, I start with the IPCL. And I start with the Model V1, that it was a little bit stronger than the Model V2. But the Model V2 is very nice because the optics are very thin. This lens have 7 holes to improve the humor. Yes. Well, also the IPCL have the possibility to treat the presbyopia when the patient have more than 40 years old. There is a version that is a presby, fucking IOL, the presby IPCL. Well, when the patient come with more than 40 years old or near of 40 years old, I invite to use this technology to reduce the myopia, astigmatism, and presbyopia. This is also important because I don't use this fucking IOL for hyperopia because it's difficult to find the normal ACD or the normal angle. You know, the crystalline lens increase your size and well reduce the angle, and we can have some problem. I use just for patient with myopia, but also I have some patient with emmetropia that I treat the presbyopia and with very, very good results too. But it's not the normal patient it's not the way to start with this kind of lens. I start with the myopia, but when the patient has in some patients with emmetropia, with little myopia, I use that with very good results too. But well, I think the IPCS is another option, very good option. I think I don't have any problems with the material. The biocompatibility was very, very good. 8 years. In 8 years, I have just one cataract with a lot of patients, well, more than 1,000. And well, also I have patients with a little vault, but without cataract. And well, this is one of the reasons that I continue using now, because the results are very good. Yes, I think it's the very good option to use in this kind of patient.
Yeah, I think the toughest patients, the easiest phakic IOL patients are going to be the very high myopes, because you have a big eye, deep anterior chamber, plenty of room. And if you take them from minus 16 to minus 1, they're going to love you.
Yeah, yes, of course. All of the patients are happy.
A tough one is going to be the plano presbyope, the emmetrope who's presbyopic, age 46, and doesn't want to have the reading glasses. So phakic lens there with the presbyopic version may be tougher. And then I think the toughest one of all is going to be the younger patients who are highly hyperopic. You get a patient who's 35 years old and a +4 hyperope. Wow, what do you do here? Now what?
Yes. Yes. I think this is, for me, also the very difficult kind of patient to treat, no? But, well, it could be an option if this kind of patient have a good anterior chamber and good angle. But I don't like to use fucking IOL in this kind of patient. It's my position, no? I try to wait to talk with this patient, and I give some glasses of contact lenses or something like that. But It's not my first option to treat with hyperopia, but well, this is in my way.
Right, that's the tough one. So, you know, if you're young and have a little bit of hyperopia, LASIK's okay. But if you're young,
okay.
If you're plus four or more, plus four plus five, now that's too much beyond LASIK. If you're young, you don't want to make them pseudophakic. You don't want to do the lens replacement. So I think you're right. At that age, you just stick with glass or contacts.
Yeah, for me, it's a very good option. We don't need to forget this option. We are a surgeon, but I always think if the glasses or contact lenses are the new option,
right?
We say, well, we don't need to operate now, this patient. We have this option. We have glasses now for this patient. We have contact lenses. You can change your mind too for some kind of patient and realize that you can do in another way, no? But I think we have a lot of options to treat this patient, but for hyperopia, I decide that glasses or contact lenses in this kind of patient, of course, with plus four, plus more than plus four and young patient, of course. But sometimes it's different when the patient coming with some esotropia, with strabismus, something like that, and they want to do the surgery because to reduce the ocular movement. And well, in this, I also wait that the patient don't have more than four, plus four, because I do the LASIK. That if not, it's a big trouble for me too. Yes, it's a point to think, to analyze very well, because you need to take into account many things. Also in the hyperopia, how is the curvature of the cornea, because sometimes it's 45 and you do the LASIK plus three, but it's 48 after surgery and maybe it's not so good. It's easier if the patient has 41, 42 and you do the LASIK with plus three, no? Of course.
Yeah, I think there's an upper limit and even a lower limit for corneal curvature. When you get to the 48, 49, 50 diopter corneas, it's not so good.
Yeah, it's not so good. No. Also, the last week I have one patient with myopia and with 38 of cornea. 38 is so flat. And I say, well, I can reduce your curvature because your cornea is so flat. Right. Maybe we have another option. In this case, I offered the IPCL to reduce the myopia. It was a very good option for this person. We need to analyze everything and, well, to take the best decision for the patient, of course. And this is the reason. The phakic lens is amazing. Years ago, one doctor asked me, how do you choose the size? And I say, well, I take into account the white to white. And how do you take the white to white and the measure? And I say, well, I start with the digital compass or the normal compass, and after with the IOL Master, the Pentacam. But I realized that 7 years ago that how is the anatomy the place where we need to put the phakic IOLs? And I started to study the anatomy of the sulcus. Well, this is one of the things, my focus now is one of these things, no? To analyze how is the sulcus. And I realized that is not just like a circle. they have many anatomical difference. And well, I did some study and I realized that there is many patients with cyst, myopic patient with cyst. And well, this is another thing to take into account in this kind of IOLs, no? In every IOL. when the patient have cysts, when the patient don't have cysts, when the patient have cysts, 360-degree microcyst around of the sulcus. And where is the cyst? Sometimes it's behind of the iris, but when the cyst is in the ciliar body or in the place when we need to put the IOL, hour 3, hour 9, and well, we need to take into account the size of the cyst, the number of the cyst, mm-hmm. and well, many things to take into account of the size of this, no, the IOL, this fucking IOL.
So you must be measuring it then with UBM, ultrasound biomicroscopy? How do you measure
this? Yes, nowadays I use the UBM to measure. I take 10 measurements of mm-hmm. each patient, horizontal measurement, and I take an average of all of that. And I say, well, this is the average of this measure, because sometimes with the doctor that take one measure is maybe 14.2 or 13.2. And if we have different, we take this average. But the most important thing for me is when we have some cyst in this position, no? And the size of the cyst. The cysts are sometimes reduce the and change the white to white, like maybe with the IOL master, and because of the cyst. And well, I take into account all of these things. And sometimes I have some problem with the toric IOLs, the toric version of FACI IOLs, because if we have a cyst and a big cyst in this position, maybe the toric can rotate.
Right.
And well, we need to, when I have cyst, I always put the FACI IOL, if you have cyst or no cyst. But when the patient have cyst in this position, I talked before, maybe we can have some problem with the IOL, and we need to change, because if I put a little bit bigger, 0.25, 0.5 more millimeters, compress the cyst, and the IOL don't move after that. No? But well, it's important the chair time, no, that we spend with this patient.
For sure. Well, I think maybe in the future we could have a redesign, a new version of a phakic lens that has complete haptics. Like if we look at regular IOLs that go in the capsular bag, we know that patients have a variable size capsular bag. So we have mm-hmm. a three-piece or even one-piece IOL with haptics that have a compressibility, so that you can always have a lens regardless of the patient's capsular bag size. So maybe we should have a similar design for these phakic IOLs in the sulcus, that the same lens can be adapted to a different size sulcus, even if there's, a cyst there in the ciliary sulcus.
Yes, yes, yes. There is many people that are thinking about that. I'm also was thinking about that. Some optic that can compress and reduce. And the IPCL, it has some compressive optic, but not, I think it's not enough like we are thinking to put one IOL for 12 or 14 that just change the position of the optic. No, it could be good, but I think the important thing in that case is to do this kind of optic that don't have any damage in the sonula, in the sulcus, you know, if this optic are moving. I think that many engineers are working, thinking about that, no?
For sure. Now, you must also do a larger number of just cataract surgeries, because I'm sure Argentina is like US or any other country where the number of cataract surgeries is much larger than the number of corneal refractive or even phakic lens surgeries.
Of course, yes. Yes, yes, yes. I do a lot of cataract surgery. It's my first surgery. that I do. And well, I think I do a lot of premium cataract surgery, but I love when I have some complicated case to pick. I think 2 months ago I have one complication in what case, and I suture one plate, toric plate, and it was an amazing challenge to do this surgery. You know, well, nowadays many doctors are doing the surgery, the suture, the surgery in the sclera, and I think it's a very good option. But we don't. We need to remember always that we have some pseudophakic IOL, the artisan, and we can use and put behind of the iris, and it's very easy also to do that, and it's very safe too. And well, it's, I know that some patient can could happen that this lens can move, but it's not the common to do that. I use both options, depend of the patient. I like to suture at the sclera, but I also like to put the artisan behind of the iris inverted, in inverted side, no?
Yeah, that's a fantastic lens, but we don't have it in the USA. It's not FDA approved.
You don't have the...
Now, what we're talking about is the artisan lens for aphakia. So for a patient with a normal iris, but no caps or bag support, instead of doing a scleral fixated IOL, you can put this iris clip lens that comes in plus powers for treatment of aphakia, like plus 16, plus, and you can clip it to even the back surface of the iris, keep it away from the corneal endothelium, and that has great long-term success. I've seen some of these patients' videos on Cataract Coach, and it's beautiful, a great option. We just don't have it in the USA.
Yes, I call the surgery 1 minute surgery without sutures.
Yeah,
aphakia 1 minute surgery without suture, because it's very easy to do. It's very safe for the patient. You don't lose time to do the surgery. The cornea is very well because you put behind of the iris, and well, I think it's well. I hope that you can. You could have this option there too, no? It's not easy.
It would be nice if we get it one day. That would be great. But, who knows? But now, for a routine kind of cataract case, what are your favorite lenses now? Because oftentimes in other countries like Argentina, you will get newer lenses before we get them in the U.S.
Yes. But I have a lot of experience with one company from Israel. The name is Hanita. Mm-hmm. I have more than 6,000 IOLs that I use it. Not only premium, also the aspheric version. The name is Hanita. And they have all versions of IOLs, toric, bifocal. And now they have one that is pentafocal. This is another technology of IOLs. Pentafocal.
I don't know this.
Five focus eye.
Five focal points.
Five. Yes. The real thing is they it's a trifocal lens, but they have two intensifier between far and intermediate, and between intermediate and near. This intensifier reduce the trifocality. And the focus curve is like very flat, very flat. And it's like a continuous vision, like a continuous vision. The so patient feel of, like that.
So instead of having a peak for distance, a peak for intermediate, and a peak for near, this fills in those two valleys. So it's kind of a continuous vision from near to far.
Yes, it's like that. And it's real. And the patient feels like that. Because, you know, the focus curve is something objective But when I take the near letter, the basic Arabic here, and I put a little bit longer. And nowadays I'm doing some study with 2 years of follow-up with this IOL with very good results. And well, there is another thing that this two intensifier reduce the difference between the rings and reduce the halos too. It's something like a big EDOF, no? Like far, too near, not too near. Yes, it's something like that. Yes. This year was presenting also in the ECRS, but I use it from 2020, and also it has a toric version too, also with very good result too. I think this is one of the technology that I like it. And also nowadays we use a lot the monofocal plus here. There is a lot of patients that use this technology, and the patients are very happy. But always I talked before that it's not IOL for near vision, for read. It's a plus version. It's like a monofocal, but with the plus version. I say you can see for far and in the sign, no? Intermediate, but it's not for read the computer or all of this thing. It's you can have a little bit more, like see the when you drive, you can read the number, how is the high speed that you are in your car or something like that.
Yeah, you can see the dashboard, the speedometer, the navigation. The you can see that.
Yes, of course, these things. But here is a very common IOL. Many patients choose a lot because sometimes for the cost of the IOL is cheaper than the trifocal version, and what is a good option too. And also the EDOF, and some EDOF are very near of some of this monofocal plus, and some of them are near to the bifocals. Now there is a new classification now that the functional classification, and I think that it's very good to realize where we are, no? But I don't like to put one IOL mix and match.
No mix and match.
Monofocal, no mix and match. No monofocal plus and trifocal in another eye. No, I try to use always the same IOL in both eyes. Well, I always say that we need to feel confidence to give to some advice at the patient, because this is where we are feeling. I think that is the best option to put the same IOL in both eyes. But I know many friends of mine that use different, and they are choosing one IOL, different IOL, and I'm thinking in which way they can use. Well, I think that if the doctor is feel confident in that way, they can do that. But I like in another way to put the same IOL in both eyes. And I also I use a little bit micro monovision with patient, but no more than minus 0.5 or minus 0.75, because it's not. Yes, it's just a little bit. No more than that.
Now, of all your cataract patients, what percent are doing monofocal or monofocal plus? What percent do EDOF lens? What percent are doing the trifocal or pentafocal lens?
Maybe 50% of trifocal lenses.
Wow. 50%. 50. Wow,
yes,
that's
yes.
higher than I expected.
Yeah. I use a lot of the trifocal because I like it.
Right.
And I offer. This is, I say that the patient do like your feeling, no? My feeling is secure with this IOL, and I offer for all of my patients. But yes, 50% maybe is the trifocality for me. And the other is maybe EDOF or monofocal is 40%, and 10% is monofocal, the normal monofocal IOL, aspheric monofocal. No? But
so truly yes. Refractive cataract surgery, because you're really trying yes. to minimize residual refractive error. You're trying to treat presbyopia and the myopia and the hyperopia and the yes. astigmatism, everything at once.
Yes, yes, yes. I am a surgeon, like you say, and I always try to reduce the use of glasses. I like it, and the patient, I love it. I know this kind of patient are different than the normal cataract or the high volume surgeon that do maybe 100 surgery a day, but yeah. The hard cataracts. Yes, I have the most of my patients with the refractive, facial refractive surgery, no? And yes. also in the hard cataract, I try to use with this kind of IOL, the trifocal or bifocal, if the cornea is good, of course, if everything is good. Because I say always that it's not only important the IOL, it's important how is the cornea, how is the macula, how is everything to have very good result with these trifocal IOLs, no?
For sure. I think for best results with a trifocal, even with some EDOF lenses, you want to have good ocular surface, good cornea. You want to have, obviously, clear capsule with no PCO, and you want to have a nice, healthy, clean macula, too.
Yes, 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 of course. Everything is important in these IOLs. And also, I have some patients that I use with the EDOF or monofocal plus, and they say to me that, well, I have halos. And I say, why? Well, I realize many of them have halos. It's not that the monofocal plus, the many of the doctors thinking that they don't have halos with the monofocal plus. You can have halo with this kind of technology because of they have a lot of the aberrations and the negative asphericity. Well, this could be one of the reasons.
Right, that's actually a very important point. Is that sometimes we think that only a trifocal or multifocal lens will have glare and halo, and we think that a monofocal will have zero, but it's actually not the case. Because if you read in the initial studies or the FDA trials of these lenses, even for a monofocal lens, some patients complain of glare halo at night, even with just a monofocal lens.
Even with the monofocal, yes. I agree with you. Yes, because we need to take care when we say this is the monofocal plus, you don't will have halo. No, no, it's not like that. Maybe the patient can have halos. And also with the EDOF, some EDOF have more halos than
right.
another, no? Of course, this little thing that they have to reduce, to improve the visual acuity and give some halos too. And well, all, of course, depend on the size of the pupil, mm-hmm. those things.
Of course. I like to tell patients that the lens implant is like any other man-made body part, whether it's an artificial heart valve or artificial hip joint. Nothing is as good as being 25 years old and healthy, and you're never going to get that back again. That's gone.
Yes. Yes, of course. It's like that. Yes, I say that I will take up your natural IOL that you have. But it doesn't work right now. It is with opacity, with something, and I will put something artificial. It's not natural. Right. You need to adapt. It's you need to adapt. You need to adapt to the new normality. Well, like we say with the pandemic, no? The new normality.
Right. And I always tell a patient, a patient complains too much in the post-op period. I always say, why don't we go back to the operating room? I'll put the cataract back in your eye.
Yeah.
Say, no.
Like, I'll live with this. I'll stay with it. Yes. Well, this is another interesting thing. Hmm. I never take out one trifocal IOL. Wow. I never change. Because of halos, because of, glare or something like that. Yes, I do some LASIK in some little myopia, hyperopia after surgery, but I never take out one trifocal lens because of halos or something like that. I think in the chair times that we spend before is very, very important, no?
No,
we need to explain. We need to explain before and not justify after surgery, no?
absolutely. I think that's a great point, Ned. Now, tell me also, tell me about your meeting. So you've told me about your meeting you have in Cordoba. I have never been. Yes. I must go next year. Teach me about it. Tell me everything.
Yes. Well, Oftalmo Cordoba started 7 years ago. This year is the seventh time that we do this congress. This congress started with like a little Ateneo, we call, talking about some special cases. We start with things like that. And after 1-2 years, come the pandemic. And with the corona, we start to do by streaming. And we have this year, 2020, more than 8,000 doctors around the world that was listening this, this course. And it start to be a very nice congress. Also here this year, it could be just presential in person, but we have this year 100 doctors that are presented their topic from Argentina and 50 from another countries. International doctors that come in. And we started like that. I am in this congress. I started 4 years ago. I joined the team. They invite me, and I joined with them. Every year I did some live surgery too, the premium live surgery. Sometimes with Femto, sometimes with my own techniques. There is another doctor that come in and do some surgery. It's a very interactive congress with the doctor, with the doctor that are listen the topic. This year we have some specialty day to share some skill with another doctor. We have wet lab too, dry lab, wet labs. We spend there 2 days. Always is in the end of October. This year is 25 and 26, and the subspecialty day is 24. So specialty day this year is with surgeries, to learn surgery about glaucoma, suture, lens and sclera. I will do some special about fake IOLs, how to use, how to implant. Well, every specialty, LASIK too, corneal transplant, and this year coming ASRAS Armia to teach about keratocono.
He's fantastic. Yeah, I just was with him last weekend in Egypt at a meeting.
Yes. Oh, yes. I see you in one picture. Yes. Well, it was also Sri Ganesh,
Right.
3 years ago. Yes.
So
He
tell me,
spent
and
also time
your meeting is in Cordoba.
in Cordoba. Cordoba is a province in the middle of Argentina. Cordoba is a very nice province. I born in Cordoba and I studied medicine also in Cordoba. And then I moved to Buenos Aires. It is one of the reasons because they invite me to. And well, Cordoba is a very nice province with mountains, with rivers. And also there is another part with there is a lot of farms with cows, with agriculture, many of the things. But well, the Congress is in the main cities of Cordoba. It's a city with 2 million people, more or less. Very nice city. It's the second city in Argentina. And well, this year we will have many specialty that many doctors from many specialty like retina, glaucoma, cataracts, and refractive and cornea too. Well, we hope that maybe we'll be there more than 500 people, doctors that coming from another countries and also from all the province of Argentina, all the state of Argentina. We call here province, but it's like a state there in USA, no?
So, and your meeting also has a lot of live surgery then.
Yes, we do live surgeries. The last year was, I think, we did one day before with live surgeries. We change every year. We change things. The last year was with maybe 16 surgeries the previous day, and we share with by streaming. This year we will do two or three premium live surgery. I will do one of them with this lens, with the intensity. And well, this is also important to share, to know how we do the surgery. And sometimes we have some special case, and we have some friend together, Dr. Neto Rosatelli, that
Sure.
was operating one of the surgery with some sonula dislocation in live surgery. And well,
Wow.
it was amazing surgery.
That's
He was
special.
there, yes, 2 years ago, and it was very, very nice. Yes, I think that the live surgery is a very nice option to do in the Congress. And well, the always the doctor are happy when they see this surgery, you know, because it's you take care, you attract. Keep your attention, no?
Live surgery is always fun at a big meeting. In the US, though, in the last many years, they phased it out. It's very unusual now. It used to be very common. I used to do live surgery for academy meeting or ASCRS meeting for the companies, but now they don't really have it much in the US anymore.
You don't have. Well, I do some live surgery by my channel in Instagram. Well, we used to do this surgery here, live surgery. There's not many doctors, but there is some doctor that do that. Yes, and it's nice. It's nice. I used to do that.
Yeah, live surgery is
And
fun. Yeah, I 20 years ago I did live surgery in like a dozen or 20 countries. It was amazing. Fun to learn.
yes. Excellent, excellent, excellent. It's very nice. Yes, it's nice. And sometimes we need to take care, depend on the patient. But I like to show not the normal patient. I like to show different patient. This yesterday I did one with one little patient with 21 year old with Jan cataract, familiar cataract, you know, and all her family have cataract started to 15 to, well, some white cataract too, some hard cataract. They did, I do it in different way to just to show how we can approach the surgery. But well, but in Oftalmo Córdoba also we do that. And this year we will have, I think, 2 or 3 live surgeries. And it's very nice.
It sounds like a great meeting.
Yes, yes, it's very nice. We work, when we finish the Congress, we start to work for the next.
Wow.
For the next year. Yeah, yes. And sometimes we start to work before. Well, we are waiting for you for the next year.
Yeah, that would be great. And then after the Congress, you do a little wine tour from all the Argentinian Malbec wines.
Yes, we have very nice wine. Now in Córdoba, also we have very nice wine, but we have 2 provinces that where we have the best wine. One is in Mendoza, and the other one is in Salta. The Mendoza is the most famous for the wines, but Salta have also very, very nice wine. And well, this is a good reason to come to Argentina from the meats and wine.
There you go. Yeah, I think yeah, you should definitely encourage more international people to come to the meeting. Certainly a lot of U.S. surgeons, you can get a nice flight, probably fly to Buenos Aires and then a short flight over to Córdoba.
Yes, it's a short, yes, it's like that. There is a short flight to Buenos Aires to Córdoba, it's just 1 hour. The most of the flights coming like that, yes, with 1 hour of from Buenos Aires. But there is also the flight to Córdoba, but I don't know if from USA, but there is also directly to Córdoba too. But well, you must come to know Buenos Aires and Córdoba, of course.
Well, we'll have to put a link to your, do you have a website for your meeting? We can put a link in the podcast. Yeah.
Excellent. www.oftalmocordoba.com.ar.
.ar for Argentina, gotcha.
Yeah.
I'll put a link on there. No, it sounds like a fantastic meeting. I'm looking forward to coming there as well and obviously learning from you. I also want to invite you that after we have your podcast, we can show a surgical video of yours. Anything you want, you can submit it to me and I'll get it posted for you. If you have an interesting case.
Okay, I will send you. I will send you some videos. I did this. I think 2 weeks ago, one surgery with the Faki IOLs with just 46 seconds, and I will send you just to show you with my technique. It's not important the time, but it's important the technique because I don't use viscoelastic for the Faki IOL. I think it's very nice to show this search. I will send you many of my videos and you select which one do you like it.
That will be fantastic. I look forward to receiving those. We'll put it up there. Because, yeah, in the U.S., I think we're a little bit behind in the fake guy wells also. And I think it's just now starting to get more momentum in the U.S. So those videos are popular. And it's also it's a really nice option for treatment of a lot of refractive errors, especially the high myopia. It's probably the best option.
Yes, I think so. Yes. Yeah, they met many patients from Asia do the Faki IOL like the first option to treat the not only the high myopia, the myopia too.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think it's a neat option.
Yes, very nice option. It's excellent. For me, it's excellent. I have a very good results and, well, it's very good. And we talk about presbyopia before with the Faki IOL. And this is one of the important things is the patient don't bother about halos. And I think it's because of they have the crystalline lens. This is the only trifocal IOL that works together with the crystalline lens, you know. And it's nice because They don't have halo. I think it's because of the crystalline lamps, maybe absorb the halos or something like that. But it's a very nice option.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't understand, but yeah. If it's just a regular IOL in a bag that's multifocal, then you're going to have good halos. But you're saying a fake lens that has multifocality with your clear crystalline lens somehow prevents glare and halo.
I think so, yes. They don't have halos. This is the only one lens that work together. Trifocality with the crystalline lens. Yeah. And also, 40-year-old, you know, they have something of accommodation, this patient too. And it works together with accommodation, trifocality. And I also have patients with pre-presbyopia, 38-year-olds. And I introduced the lens maybe 3-4 years ago. Now they are with 42, 43, from 38 to 5 years. And they are very happy. And they adapt very well and never feel halos with 38-year-olds. And they never feel the different of near vision. They never take bother about, no, I have a plus 2, plus 2.5 for near. They don't bother about. Because of the trifocal IPCL, it's coming with different addition for near vision.
Oh.
Yes, from 1.5, plus 1.5 to 4, plus 4. With the step of 0.5, plus 0.5. And I published that. You can find in PubMed, like Bianchi GR. It's a nice option. I have a nomogram to put that. But, you need to have the IPCL there in your side.
Well, we're going to learn from you, and we'll expect that nice video of the phakic lenses, and we'll put that up the day after your podcast.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. I will send you.
My pleasure to feature that. And I want to thank you again for doing this podcast. Always fun to talk to you, learn your experience, learn about your new meeting and how you've been doing it the last 7 years. And definitely, I want to attend your meeting next year and have a good time and learn from all the speakers.
It could be great. It could be great, really great, that you will be in Argentina in our Congress in Oftalmo Cordoba. We are waiting for you. We are happy and we are really anxious to have you in Cordoba in our house. It could be great. Great for us. Thank you very much, Uday.
All right, my friend. Thank you again. And I want to remind our viewers and our listeners, remember, we have a podcast, a new one every single week. You can find it on Apple, Amazon, Spotify, Google, anywhere you find your podcast. You find the Cataract Coach podcast. Plus, remember, we still have a new Cataract Coach video every single day. Check it out, and we'll see you next time.